12 times long with Thanksgiving, I kind of give a message to make us think back on that, reflect on that. And one of the greatest things, I guess, Paul said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Of whom? I am chief! We have a lot to be thankful for, because we have a great Savior. And we needed a great Savior, because at least in my case, I was a great sinner. And if we don't understand those things, we can't be properly thankful. So today I want to talk about a fellow I call a 50-cent sinner, you know. Well, he was a little bit of a sinner, maybe. He needed a little bit of a Savior. It's kind of the way the world is today, really. You know, I'm not a bad guy, and I can do this, and I can do that. No, we need a great Savior, because we're great sinners. Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within himself, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Simon, the Pharisee here, like so much of this of the world, was a 50-cent sinner. You see, He didn't see himself in such great need as this sinful woman that had come into his house. He was not so bad. He kept the law. Before man's eyes, perhaps like Paul, he was blameless. No one could really point a finger at him on any particulars. But it's only as God awakens us to the terribleness of our sins that we are brought to cast ourselves upon him, to cast ourselves at his feet, and to experience personally the burden lifted and the understanding of the sins that were forgiven. Now we see here this Pharisee invited the Lord to his house. He desired him to eat with him. We don't know the exact motives of this Pharisee, but he was willing to sit down as a host with Christ. Though, as the Lord points out, according to the traditions of the day, he wasn't a very good host. The common courtesy of the day, he would have provided water at least for the Lord to wash his own feet. Now, the trails there were dirty, and they would wash their feet before they... He wasn't even offered that. He didn't offer him any ointment for his head. Certainly, he was unwilling to cast himself at the Savior's feet like this wretched sinner. And again, a contrast to that other Pharisee that we know, that we've been reading after, Paul. Again, who said, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation," as he wrote to young Timothy. This verse means more and more to me every day. I don't know. That Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Lord certainly knew Simon's heart and his motivations. Regardless, he accepted the invitation to teach us some things, to receive this woman. We don't know all the purposes of to the Lord's actions in this case, but he went to the Pharisee's house to eat with him. Now, according to the customs of the day, the houses were pretty much open, and the poor, the beggars, could come in to the tables. Even as a banquet was being set forth. And this woman appears. We don't know exactly who she is. If you want to read all the different commentators, you'll get all kind of guesses to who she is. Speculation that she's Mary Magdalene, or Mary the sister of Lazarus, or, you know, all these speculations. It seems, from what's set forth here, that she was almost certainly a harlot. A sinner. And beyond that, as you read the narrative, as we read, it was well known that she was a sinner. It was well known to the people of that area that she was a sinner. But more importantly, the Lord had brought her to see that she was a sinner. Not only did everybody else know she was a sinner, she knew she was a sinner. And I think in a particular way that only the Holy Spirit can bring us to see. And I think it's quite clear she is what the old Baptists used to call a sensible sinner. Those who had been quickened by the Spirit of God to see their own horrible state and their own need. They weren't any 50-cent sinner. And these things here, just to get on that, I says 50 pence, but that pence We're not talking about real small sums here. That pence would have been considered a day's wages. And so when you have a 50 pence center, you know, you're still talking, that's an appreciable amount. But 500 pence, and somewhere, you know, you could say $5,000. Or it's hard to equate those things exactly. But these were significant amounts. And in any case, she's a sensible sinner. I think she has been quickened. I think she's been regenerated. But she has not yet been converted. Now, that will get me in trouble with about 90% of Sovereign Grace brethren. But I think the scriptures are abundantly clear on this. You know, people don't seek after Christ until they've been quickened. Mm-hmm. Scripture says there's none that seeketh after him. She knew her need. She was awakened. She was sensible. And she was seeking. And only the Spirit can bring that about, as he quickens her and brings her to see her condition. It was the Spirit that brought her here to stay. And yet, of course, this woman's reputation as a harlot clings to her. By the custom of the day, when Jesus entered this house, he would have removed his footwear. Normally, at that time, the host would have given him some water to wash his feet with. Simon didn't do that. He would have reclined at the table with his feet pointing away from the table. It's the way they would have eaten. And then comes this woman and casts herself at the Lord's feet. The gospel's, you know, not an invitation. I don't want to invite folks to make a decision, but I always can say this. And it's always safe for that sensible sinner to cast themselves at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's my message. You labor and heavy laden, cast yourself at the feet of Christ. It's not, let's make a deal. It's already done. But if you have been brought to see your great need as a great sinner, cast yourself at the feet of Christ. And impulsively she begins to weep, to wash his feet with her tears, drying them with the hairs of her head. I'm going to get into this a little bit when we get back into Galatians, talking about Paul there, and we were talking about the distinctions between men and women. You know, in this modern day of bobbed-haired women, you know, how would they wipe his feet with their hair? 1 Corinthians 11 tells us that long hair is a woman's glory. And long hair for a man is a shame. I still believe that. Now, you don't have to. You can try to explain it away however you want to. And a lot of folks do. But I do know this. If she'd been adorned like most of the women around today, she wouldn't have been able to wipe his feet with her hair. Some of them don't have hair much longer than mine. I need a haircut. All the while, she kisses his feet and shows great respect. She even anticipated and brought ointment to anoint his feet with. Verse 39 says, when the Pharisees saw this, he spake within himself and said, you know what about this guy? If he was really a prophet, he would know who this woman is. He wouldn't have allowed her to touch him. Because she's a sinner. Well, obviously he didn't understand who Jesus Christ was and what his business was. Not only did others know her to be a sinner, but she acknowledged herself to be so. And it's indeed such that the Lord came to save. He came to save the lost sheep. I saw something recently. Somebody said, you know, about, well, I found Jesus. No, you didn't find Jesus. He wasn't ever lost. He found you. You know? He found you! And he came to find his lost sheep. Now the religious folks of the day, the Jewish midrashes, which were kind of commentaries of that day, set forth, you know, the Pharisees wouldn't associate with the common people. They wouldn't allow them to touch them. In fact, they were very careful. They would avoid certain places so they didn't bump into the unwashed multitudes. Oh, we can imagine what it would be for us dirty, rotten, stinking Gentiles. You know, man, they really didn't want to have nothing to do with us. Well, Midrash says this, the commentaries, the Mishnah says, they walked in the sides of the ways that they might not be defiled by the touch of the common people. And so Simon's thinking, man, this guy's supposed to be a prophet. He's letting this woman touch him. He's like, I would never let that happen. But not only does the Lord know who she is, he knows who Simon's is, and he knows what Simon's thinking. And so the Lord said, wait a minute, Simon. I would like to say something to you. I have a little something I would like to say to you. And Simon says, well, Master, say on. I think that was probably somewhat tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic, smugly or whatever. But he says, Master, say on. You know, here's a fellow that's letting this common harlot come in here, wash his feet, touch him, and he wants to tell me something. Okay, Master, you tell me something. And of course, the Lord says there was a certain fella who had two debtors. One owed him 500 pence. The other owed him 50 pence. And he forgave them both. He says, Simon, who's going to love him the most? Well, Simon wasn't a rocket scientist, I guess, but even he could figure that out. He said, well, the one that he forgave the most, too. The Lord said, Simon, you said that right. Here's the thing. Even if there were such a thing as a 50-cent sinner, he don't have the 50 cents to pay. You see, these folks that had these debts of 500 and a 50, neither one of them could pay. Neither one of them had the means. They had nothing to pay. And both of them, by the law of the day, could have been subject to being made servants, subject to servitude for failure to pay a debt. But that's how we stand before God. We're great sinners, and we have nothing to pay. Nothing. But Simon seems somewhat, at least initially, not understanding where the Lord's going with this, and so he kind of went along with it. Brethren, by total hereditary depravity, by total inability, we're fallen. There's that old crazy TV commercial, I've fallen and I can't get up. You can't. You can't. Then the Lord turns and says to Simon, you see this woman? Since I entered your house, you know, you didn't give me the common courtesies of the day, really. But this woman hasn't ceased to wash my feet with her own tears, to dry them with her own hair. Verse 47, he says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Well, she's come to the recognition of that. Of course, Christ was the surety from eternity past. They are forgiven. They were forgiven. Because he came to find his sheep. and he sought and found his sheep. But she's been brought by being awakened by the Spirit to see her need, and now she has been brought to see the provision for that need in Jesus Christ. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Verse 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Now folks, that didn't sit well with the Jews. On more than one occasion, when the Lord would say something like that, they would say, wait a minute, only God can forgive sins. You know what? They were right. Jesus Christ is God. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Her sins, the Lord said, her sins are forgiven. Now, if you want to get into the details and try to look at the various aspects of grammar, that's in the passive perfect, which is a tense that means they were forgiven and they remain forgiven. Again, I believe the scriptures are pretty clear on the aspect of eternal justification, but it's only in time that we're brought to see that and to appreciate that. And because of our relationship to Adam, we're born dead in trespasses and sin. We're born to see those. We're brought to see that need by the Holy Spirit and to cast ourselves on Him. And so the Lord says, your sins are forgiven. And she was like that debtor with the great debt. She had great gratitude. Simon's debt, if he had any, in his own mind, was a small thing. It was a little thing. It's kind of like what Arminianism says. You know, well, man, yeah, man's a sinner, but he can fix that if he makes the right decisions, if he makes the right choices. Man's not so totally depraved that he can't assist God in his own salvation. And my point is today, brethren, little sinners just need a little Savior. The great sinners need a great Savior. And He did it all. The Lord speaks of her assurance. We've talked about what Paul says, and really throughout Scripture, when he says, "Thy faith hath healed thee. Thy faith hath made thee whole." He says, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." Well, that faith is the one that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's the faith of Christ. Yes, it's her faith because she received it. And she wouldn't have it if she hadn't received it. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Not some human thing she worked up, this street harlot. No, the faith of Christ, the gift of Christ. And so he says, thy sins are forgiven thee. Partly for the benefit of the Pharisee and partly for her own assurance. For the testimony before others. And brethren, that's the prerogative of the Most High God. And He's the only one that can do such things. But that 50-cent sinner, Simon, he didn't feel such a great need for mercy. He didn't feel such a gratitude because he didn't display it. He didn't demonstrate it. It wasn't the display and the demonstration that brought about the forgiveness of her sins, but it was the forgiveness of her sins that brought about that display. Those things that Christ has done. And the whole religious world is full of ways to forgive sins. You know, they can be worked by the human effort. Good works. or baptism, or the Mass, or decisional regeneration. All these things that involve anything but truly coming to Christ and casting ourselves at His feet as poor, helpless creatures that can add nothing. They have nothing to pay. We got to have a great debt, but we have nothing to pay. So, well, wait a minute here. I got a little bit of baptism in here. I got a little bit of good works here. Let me try to pay you off with that. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, the scriptures tell us. So the Lord says, your sins are forgiven thee. We read on another occasion again in Luke 5:21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Listen, Jesus Christ was God. Jesus Christ is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And the religious world hates that idea of Christ. We're coming upon that season, you know. They're okay with that little old baby in the manger. But I want to tell you something. You're not going to see Him as a little old baby in the manger again. Maybe I'll preach my sermon again about no more mangers. And no more mangers! He's coming back on a white war charger. As a conquering warrior. He ain't so much like that, Jesus. That little baby in the manger, well, that's okay for everybody in the world. They reject who He is. But brethren, here's the truth. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh the Father but by me. They don't like that. And so the Lord concludes, verse 50 there. And He said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Again, God-given faith. Let me tell you how that faith works. You receive that faith of Christ to cast yourself on Him, to embrace the gospel of your salvation. You know what that brings? Peace. Peace. That's the temporal purpose of that God-given faith, that we may embrace the gospel of our salvation, that we may come to see and experience what's already been done for us, and that we may go in peace. A peace that passes understanding. A peace that comes from no other source than by God-given faith. And as we're brought to cast ourselves at his feet. So, sinner, it's always safe to cast yourself at the feet of Christ. I have no message except for those that are heavy laden. Those that burden and are heavy laden, and a dead man can't do that. I don't know who they are. The Lord brings them to that place. And I know that He alone forgives sins. And He alone can bring peace. And so our debt is greater than we can pay. He alone paid the price. So in spite of what Simon may have thought, there aren't any 50-cent sinners. There aren't really even any 500-pence sinners. What we owe before God is an infinite Can you wrap your mind around that? Not really. What we owe is an infinite and an unpayable debt. And the only one that could pay that was someone who was infinite and eternal. And that was Jesus Christ. And he paid it for his people. And it is finished. You know, he didn't say, oh, well, here. Well, you're a 50-cent sinner. Maybe you're a 500-pence sinner. I'll go to the cross and I'll pay 499. You could never get that other pence. You could never be forgiven. No. It is finished. He paid it all. And because we have such a great Savior, and because we're such great sinners, we ought to have some great gratitude and thanksgiving. And I pray that the Lord might keep that before us, because sometimes we don't keep that in perspective, perhaps, like we should. But we've been pardoned a great and an unpayable debt. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together, number 332, Anywhere with Jesus. 332. Thank you for this day and privilege to gather. Open your word. Father, I think we can all say that with the apostle, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Lord, may we never downplay our own sinfulness, our own need, the great and unpayable debt that we owed, that our Savior paid. Lord, in the light of that, may our lives and our words show forth the gratitude that we ought to have. Lord, thank you for such a Savior. Father, be with our sisters and brothers in the Lord, our sister churches. Lord, help us to live lives that reflect glory upon thee. Be with those that need your healing hand. Be with Sister Joanne as she's at home today and not feeling well. Brother Hal and his family, give him discernment and guidance to accomplish the things that are needful. And Lord, comfort hearts as you alone can. Thank you, Lord, for the atoning death of our Savior, for his all-sufficient and complete payment of our sin. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.